Hello and welcome to The Check-In, our live noontime forum for community connections and conversation over the airwaves. Thanks for checking in today. Around the state of Missouri, confirmed cases of the coronavirus are on the rise, though in Boone County, we haven't been hit nearly as hard as other areas. But still, for many, a part of keeping us safe is one place that we've had limited access to during this pandemic, the hospital and clinics. Visitors are limited, temperatures are taken at the door, routine health checks are delayed or halted. But now across the country, healthcare professionals are concerned about something else, delayed visits to the ER and health checks that are actually necessary. Among those necessary visits are vaccinations and other preventative care right now. Medical professionals warn that putting off this important care could be dangerous down the road. After all, ironically, when we are putting off things like vaccinations, we're risking disease outbreaks in our community, the very thing we're all trying to avoid right now. All of this is particularly stressful and difficult to navigate when it comes to our kids. What does it mean for a family with an infant who needs these vaccinations? And what does it mean if you're planning a childbirth, welcoming new life into the world? Today, we're talking all about children's health during the pandemic. Our guest is Dr. Amruta Padgye. She's a pediatric infectious disease specialist at MU Health. We'll be talking with Dr. Padgye throughout this half hour, and you can join our conversation too. Are you a parent making tough decisions right now about your kids' health? What are your questions for Dr. Padgye about health during the pandemic? Before we jump into our conversation with Dr. Padgye, we're going to check in with Rebecca Smith. Becky is a KBIA health reporter. She's been reporting on specifically on childbirth procedures right now and how those have changed during the crisis. Becky, welcome to the check-in.
Hey, Janet, thanks for having me back.
So really curious, this is something that we talk a lot about on our team right now, the process of childbirth. It's really, you know, one of the most sacred things, bringing new life into the world, and it's all sort of disrupted right now. Things have changed. Things are going along very happily in many instances, but it's different. What does it look like right now? What are you finding with this reporting that's changed?
Yeah, Janet. So I think one of the first things, kind of touching on what you were just saying, is, you know, I've talked to several OBs here in town. I've talked to some new moms, and, you know, childbirth is messy. So PPE isn't something you can conserve quite the same way. And this isn't a procedure, obviously, that can be put off like most of those others. Babies kind of seem to have their own plans. But so there is a lot of recommendations coming down through different professional organizations from the CDC, but then filter more through ACOG, which is the College of Obstetrics and Gynecologists, a few other organizations like that. And then the teams here in Boone County have been kind of figuring out how they can make those policies the best, the safest for mothers here in Boone County and, of course, the surrounding rural area that they cover. So what we're looking at right now, Janet, is basically just even more screening in that advance, right as you come up into those last few weeks of pregnancy. You know, I've talked with people both at the Boone team and the MU Women's and Children's team, and it sounds like they're kind of recommending the same thing, and that's self-isolation as much as possible at that 37-week mark. Now, you know, both of these individuals, both of these doctors did, you know, talk about the realities of if you have to go to work, is this really possible? But they did really emphasize that minimizing contact with the outside world, really lowering that chance of potential infection for yourself at that 37-week mark. You know, they're also then recommending testing, COVID-19 testing for moms as they get even closer in that 38-week range. That way, you know, if you are positive, you could quarantine and hopefully not have to deal with any anxiety over potential separation with a baby. You know, you could find out you're negative and then, you know, feel more confident and comfortable going into labor and delivery. Now, all of this, Janet, the doctors are very, very sure to reassure us, is that all of this is a suggestion, a recommendation. They're obviously not forcing families to do any of these things, but they are recommending a little bit more scheduling, as much as possible, trying to come up with a schedule for childbirth, which, as most people will be aware, is not really a thing you can do. But so this way, they're talking about induction or having a C-section scheduled. And that way, you know, you have your COVID testing out of the way. You have that plan. plan. And so you can really mitigate and minimize risk for everyone, right? For the mom, the one visitor, in this case, the baby, and the staff who's having to take care of and bring this baby into the world.
All right. Let me remind listeners, you're checking in with us on The Check-In right now on KBIA. We're talking with reporter Rebecca Smith, who is reporting on the process and procedures and recommendations for childbirth right now. If you've been through this, you can give us your story. Let us know how it was for you. That would be really useful. We have Dr. Amruta Padgett today. She's an expert in all of these things, pediatrics, infectious disease. She can talk to us about parenting during this time and also talk about your concerns. Becky, you've talk to some moms. What are the moms and parents and dads saying right now about how this is impacting them?
So I'm hearing a lot of anxiety. As I mean, I think we're all kind of anxious right now, obviously, as we are in a worldwide pandemic. But basically, you know, several of the parents I've spoken to said they ignored the news. You know, one mother I spoke to actually made a deal with her mom that if there was stuff that I need to know, she'll tell me, but I'm going to totally ignore the news because it doesn't help me feel more prepared or more comfortable as I'm getting ready for this baby to enter the world, right? I want to be able to focus on the stuff that's really important.
Okay. As a journalist and a mom, I would say I support that. That sounds healthy.
But, you know, I'm hearing some silver linings. You know, people seem to be pretty happy with the care they've been getting. They said, you know, physicians have been really particular. PPE has been great. But also, you know, one thing I'm hearing a lot of, Janet, is the lack of extra people in the waiting rooms. You know, medical students maybe in the room has actually been kind of calm and quiet for families. Okay. People are maybe even kind of enjoying that little bit more of like serenity where they can really focus on, you know, their baby, their partner, whoever it is with them. And, you know, one of the other things on that isolation, because we talk about it as such a bad thing, is one of the OBGYNs that I spoke with said that some of his mothers, new mothers, when they're not having to balance friends coming over to meet the baby and family members, that they've actually had some better success with things like breastfeeding. Hmm. So people, these physicians especially, are very excited to see what they can learn, you know, silver linings again, about early infancy and breastfeeding and all those sorts of things, you know, in the next couple months and the years to come.
All right. Becky, it's nice to have the silver lining. Thank you so much for sharing your reporting with us. And good luck with it as you finish it. We'll keep a lookout for it.
Thanks so much, Janet.
Okay.
Be well.
Thanks, Becky. So you can follow Becky's reporting on Twitter. She's Rebecca Smith. You can follow us on KBIA and have a lookout for that reporting that Becky's going to be doing. She's going to land a feature here soon in the next few days on childbirth. We are also here on The Check-In going to do an entire show on childbirth coming up soon. So keep a lookout for that and get in touch with us if you have a story today or if you want to be involved in the future check-in that we do on this topic. You can call us right now at 573-882-9136. Again, that's 573-882-9136. Now let's welcome Dr. Amruta Padgett to The Check-In. Dr. Padgett, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much for having me, Janet.
So today, this time is a very challenging time. Let me just start, Dr. Padgett, with a really general question. Parents navigating child health right now, particularly the health of young children, who are going to clinics, going to the hospitals, maybe have delayed some things, but are making these decisions right now. What general things are you observing, and what advice would you give right now?
Right. So we have seen declines in clinic visits, more so not just because parents not bringing their children, but also because we had been postponing some of the routine, you know, visits. But now they are really looking forward to ramping that up. As you know, most parents, well, child taken care of at times. And we would like to see more.
Okay. You are breaking up a little bit there, Dr. Padgett, but we are going to keep going and hope that your line just clears up a little bit here. One big thing that I know that medical teams and the CDC, I believe, are worried about are a decrease in vaccinations. What is causing this?
I think decline of routine
Dr. Padgett, let me just interrupt really quickly. Your line was clear to begin with, but now it's getting pretty spotty. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. We are going to take a little break here. Let me just remind people, you are listening to The Check-In on KBIA. We are by remote, so we're doing the best we can with our connections. You can call us if you want to let us know how you're managing and navigating your children's health right now. We will have Dr. Padgett here with us. We're going to check her line and come back to Dr. Padgett. But you can also join the discussions. We'll eventually get this figured out. Let me just remind people, we are having a conversation today about pediatric infectious disease and health during crisis. What are you doing about vaccinations right now? Are you planning a childbirth right now? Maybe you have an infant that's come home and you're navigating these things. We also, once we have her line sorted, we are going to be speaking with Dr. Amrita Padgi about the importance of maintaining child health during this time. Also, the importance of maintaining your own health. We've had, I believe, Dr. Sampson on with the ER with MU Health, who's talked about the challenges that they're seeing with people staying away from the ER when people should be going into the ER. So sometimes you do need to have access to your clinic. You do need to have access to your hospital. We're talking with Dr. Padgett today about how MU Health is making preparations to make the clinics safe, to make the hospitals safe for your infants, for your kids to come in. Let's go back to Dr. Padgett. Dr. Padgett, thanks for your patience with us while we figure out your line. You were just talking about some of the challenges, and particularly with vaccinations. Can you start that over and let us know what's going on with vaccinations right now and what you would say to people with young kids on getting into the clinic and staying up with their vaccinations right now?
Thank you, Janet. Thanks for having me back on. So earlier I was alluding to the CDC report that came out on 8th of May, which kind of confirmed our suspicion of what would happen with declines in immunization rates. So when vaccination rates were compared to same time last year, January to April, there was definitely a considerable decline. And just for the period of mid-March to mid-April, based on some of the Vaccines for Children program data, they showed that about 2.5 million fewer doses of routine non-influenza vaccines were delivered in this mid-March to mid-April period. And again, for the same period, 250,000 fewer doses of measles-containing vaccines were given when compared to the same time last year. So this is really very important because we don't want to see a surge of vaccine-preventable infections. Last year, we saw over 1,000 cases across the country of measles. Missouri has had the hepatitis A outbreaks. And also in Boone County, we had a few cases of mumps reported last year. So we want children to continue to be safe during this this time, and would encourage families to keep up with the well-child checks. You know, most families like to do, at least I like to get our children's well-child exams done during the summertime. So this is the perfect time to go back to the pediatric offices, get kids up to date on their vaccinations. I think one of the worries that parents have is that, they're worried to go back into the health system, but all pediatric offices, including MU Healthcare, are taking every precaution to make visits to the doctor safe for you and for kids and their family, for parents and the kids.
All right. Let me just remind your listeners, you're listening to The Check-In. Our guest is Dr. Amrita Padgett. Thank you for your patience while we fixed Dr. Padgett's line. We're talking about children's health issues during a pandemic. How are you talking to your kids about the pandemic? Do you have questions or comments for Dr. Padgett about getting your kids to the doctor, about vaccinations, about keeping your family safe? Maybe you're wondering about whether and when you can get your kids with their grandparents. All these questions, I feel like Dr. Padgett is going to have an answer for you. Call in and join the conversation or let us know what's going on with you, your stories, 882-9136. We've got a few minutes left here and we can take your call. There's a line open if you want to join us. Dr. Padgett, it's changed taking your kids to the doctor these days. What does it look like when you take your kid to the doctor? What, if you haven't been out there yet, what would you find that's different?
So what is different is that pediatric offices have change their workflow in checking in kids. So typically, you know, the families will get a pre-screening phone call at the entrance of the clinic. There will be temperature checks. There will be a provider there to even do a symptom check to see if you may have symptoms of COVID-19. And if they do flag up as having any symptoms, sick patients will be isolated in a separate area. Also, as of now, we are having all children and patients coming into the system wear masks, at least for those 2 years and above. And waiting areas are also different, where seats have been moved apart to maintain that 6 foot distance, physical distance. Also, if anyone does not need to be seen in person, then virtual care is definitely an option. And all of us have opened up clinic slots for being able to see patients by telehealth. Again, you know, for children or adults who have scheduled procedures that require sedation, or those who have planned surgeries, they're having tests for COVID-19 done in advance of the procedure, so that those who are positive, then we can decide whether or not that procedure or that surgery is necessary at that time, kind of weighing the risks and benefits at that time.
Okay.
So these are all the systems that have been put in place to make families feel comfortable coming into the health system.
All right. Dr. Paje, there are a few specific examples that I feel like are on a lot of people's minds, sort of at the various stages of parenting that they might be in. So let me just kind of go through some of these examples and stages for you, beginning with our conversation that we are having with reporter Rebecca Smith about childbirth. What advice or observations do you have for people planning a childbirth right now?
So I think following directions from your OB doctor would be the best. All of our physicians in our health system are very familiar with. And I really liked all the comments that Rebecca Smith made earlier about childbirth. Mm-hmm. You know, again, trying to avoid contact with, of course, sick people, but also kind of staying isolated from others, avoiding visitors, and maintaining that social distancing until the time of childbirth.
Okay, great. And what about you and your husband are both physicians, I believe, and working parents. You have young kids. What do you say to working parents considering the various options such as daycare and day camps? I saw that lots of summer camps have opened up. They are following different procedures now. What are your thoughts on the safety of daycares and day camps right now?
Yeah, I think we have also been considering what we should be doing for our kids come summertime.
Yes.
I think when we screen through these camps, we are kind of being mindful of what precautions they've put in place for their camps. Are they aligned with the recommendations from the health department? So that would be the first thing that I would look into. Of course, their teacher or supervising camp counselor to student ratio should also be, there should be fewer kids to a counselor than they would have otherwise had in the past. I think outdoor activities are great. Outdoor camps would be great, but again, trying to maintain that if we should be mindful of knowing if social distancing is possible in these situations.
Okay. And, you know, being a parent yourself, you and your husband are navigating all of this. What would you say you have found the most challenging thing about being a parent yourself during this pandemic?
I think for us, the challenging thing was trying to juggle both our respective duties. My husband is a critical care doctor. I'm an infectious disease doctor. So trying to balance both of these with also balancing the e-learning that the children have been doing at home. So that was the most difficult piece. Mm. Our kids have been very, very understanding. They know that mom and dad do important work, and We have provided reassurances to them. You know, we provide frequent reassurances to them. Mm-hmm. We tell them that when mom and dad go to work, we're going to be, you know, keeping ourselves safe by doing all these things. So I think the anxiety has not been very much for the kids, and they've been doing a good job with keeping up with schoolwork.
Well, that's remarkable, considering that you must have a high level of stress, you and your husband, that you're probably accustomed to dealing with. But I appreciate you sharing your personal side of things, because it's very relevant to have you both as an expert and also as a parent here. So we couldn't resist a few questions about how you're dealing with yourself, all of this yourself and your family. And you mentioned really kind of my next question, Dr. Podgy, which is about how you are talking to your kids about this. And you say you've managed to keep their anxiety pretty low just by talking about it. It's probably conversations you've always had in your family about what you do. So perhaps this is just an added layer. But what do you think works when it comes to talking to kids and explaining what is going on out there in the world right now?
Mm-hmm. So with my kids being in elementary school, they're familiar with what is going on. But at the same time, I ask them initially when the pandemic started, intermittently ask them, what do you understand is going on? And that way, if they have any, if they've heard some misinformation, I can correct that. I would recommend a particular website from our American Academy of Pediatrics. It's called healthychildren.org. It has really good tips for families on how to communicate with children, how to recognize any signs of anxiety that they may not express verbally, but that what to watch for if kids are being cranky or clingy or having trouble sleeping. And there are a number of tips out there as well. So I would really encourage families to kind of explore that website. I think the other big thing is trying to also for adults to stay informed, so you're aware of what's going on, and try to be like a good role model in a way, I should say, like, knowing to express like sympathy and support to those who are sick, and at the same time being mindful of what is being spoken in front of the kids. Is it age appropriate? And not to unnecessarily frighten them as well.
Okay. Yeah, great advice. Let me just remind listeners, this is The Check-In on KBIA. We're talking with Dr. Amruta Podgy about children's health, maintaining your children's health during the pandemic, how you're talking to your kids about the pandemic. We're calling on her to be a little bit of a therapist, but she's a pediatric infectious disease expert here. And so sharing with us advice and observations about keeping your kids healthy, whether you have questions about getting your kids vaccinations, planning a childbirth, how you're dealing with this in your family. Let us know what you're dealing with and what your questions are. Dr. Podgy, I really wanted to ask you about something that's kind of newsworthy at the moment, this mystery inflammatory syndrome that's come out, which is believed to be associated with coronavirus, but it's still very rare, I think. But is it a concern? I think it's officially pediatric multi-system inflammatory syndrome, which is worrying, but again, very rare. Is this a concern you're watching here in Missouri?
Yes. So in Missouri, all providers are aware of this new description of the pediatric multisystem inflammatory syndrome. I'll call it just for short as PIMS. We have not had any cases here recently, but I know there are in the news there was some cases reported from St. Louis and Kansas City. But I think just being mindful of what symptoms to watch for. Like you mentioned, this is definitely rare. And what has been seen is that these cases, at least in the high incidence areas, such as in New York, in the Northeast, they kind of became more apparent a few weeks after the peak in those areas. Mm-hmm. We think of this as possibly a post-infectious inflammatory mm-hmm. process. Symptoms to watch for, again, it is rare, but I think it's not going to go, parents are not going to miss these symptoms. If a child has been having fever for a few days, 3, 4 or more days, They're feeling unwell, you know, some descriptions of abdominal pain, some gastrointestinal symptoms, feeling dizzy. Those would be reasons to have them evaluated by the doctor.
Okay. All right. Dr. Pache, we are out of time, but let me just give you a few seconds here to give any advice that you would leave us with for keeping our kids safe going forward in this pandemic. What would your final observations be about going forward?
I think going forward, we should just be, you know, again, you know, one thing that this pandemic has shown us is how vulnerable we are. But again, we're all in this discovery phase of this this disease. I would advise that people be prepared, stay calm, and continue to follow these social distancing measures that have been that we have been following for the last few weeks, even now, even after the stay-at-home orders have been lifted, to continue to practice that. That would be my advice.
All right. Fantastic. Dr. Pache, good luck to you, your husband, and your family as you navigate and as you're a frontline healthcare provider during this crisis. We appreciate so much you taking the time and talking with us today.
Thank you, Janet. Thank you for having me. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. Take care. All right. That's it for today's check-in. Thanks for joining us and checking in with us today. Thanks also again to Dr. Amrita Pache for joining us. If you're listening and needing help, you can go to 211, call 211. The United Way of Missouri has help for you. You can also go to comohelps.org, where you can donate money to relief efforts throughout Mid-Missouri. You can do that today and every day. The check-in is produced by Christopher Husted and me, with KBIA News Director Ryan Famuliner and our fabulous team of producers, Zia Kelly, Madison Conti, and Hannah France. KBIA's health reporting is produced by Sebastian Martinez Valdivia and Rebecca Smith. You can see their reporting at kbia.org. They still haven't stopped. They keep going. They need to take a break. We also want to know where you're at. You can call us outside of this program at 877-532-0971 or go to kbia.org to let us know where you're at. Tomorrow, we'll be checking in again with Professor Stephanie Shonikin and her daughter, Faramola Shonikin. We're talking about music that gets you by. We'll also talk a little bit about running. What music is your lifeline right now? Join us for that tomorrow. Until then, I'm Janet Saidi. Stay well and stay in touch.